independent bookstores, especially the secondhand variety, are repositories of human knowledge. The sellers are as idiosyncratic as their collections, which can run the gamut or specialize in arcane fields of inquiry.
Even his desk area was just piled with books.
Kristen Idy Tollefson can make two claims. She has owned the Bookhouse, Dinkytown's last remaining old-style indie bookstore, for nearly 40 years. And she knew Melvin McCosh.
And all of a sudden, this figure came out from behind, long beard, just a visage, you know, of what you might associate with a book magician or something. He just came out and he said, "Can I help you?" And that was McCosh. I think probably many people met McCosh in that way.
Melvin McCosh was the magician behind the crammed bookcases and floor spaces of McCosh's Books, which he began in 1952 in the front rooms of his house before relocating 3 years later to 4th and 14th, Dinkytown's commercial epicenter. McCosh was an icon of the university town's counter-cultural era, not because he was a guitar-slinging folky or reefer-toting poet, but because his store was where you went to expand your mind with ideas in an era when people believed that ideas could change the world. Kristen Idy Tollefson.
In those days, most book dealers were eccentric in some, used book dealers were eccentric in some way or another, and extremely independent. You'd have to be, because it's your life. It's barely sustaining you most of the time, and you spend most of what you have on books, right? So it's a real calling. And that is what he focused on, is the books. You know, sometimes to the disadvantage of the selling part of it, you know, people would come up to the desk with something and McCosh would go, "That's a really bad book." And then he'd say, "You should be reading this," because he was always trying to promote what he considered the best of literature. But as a bookstore, he was a very important cultural center. People were always meeting there. They were picking up books there and talking to McCosh, which in itself was an experience. And he was a very independent thinker, to say the least, and iconoclast, an amazing character, and very, very smart.
I remember Norm Sherman used to work there part-time. He referred to these stacks of books that came to a sharp point as McCosh Gothic.
Bill Breer was a history student in 1958. He also rented an upper room in McCosh's house, a corner of his room which was sometimes commandeered to store McCosh's ever-increasing inventory. Like anyone who got to know this collector of tomes, Breer has his McCosh stories.
One time he was looking for a book and he was searching and couldn't quite get it, reach it. He was on his tiptoes. Elspeth was in the store and she was the second youngest child. So she finally, she says, "Dad, you're standing on my foot." And he said, "I know that Elspeth." And he went on looking for his book.
Kristen Idy Tollefson.
In his window during homecoming, he always put up a sign that said, "Homecomers go home." Oh, there's so many stories.
In 1964, when Bridgman's expanded into the bookstore, McCosh was forced to relocate.
And they pushed McCosh out. And that's what created a tremendous lot of protests. There were sit-ins at the Bridgman's lunch counter.
McCosh hauled his collection to a firehouse on the West Bank and south for a time, where Carleton and St. Olaf located.
But the problem with colleges that don't have graduate schools is that people don't necessarily go too far afield from their assigned classwork. That takes a graduate kind of program. And about the same time, he also bought an old Swedish old folks home, beautiful building, near Lake Minnetonka. And he did flyers for his sales out in Excelsior, because now he had to attract people to come all the way out to Excelsior to look at his 100,000 books or whatever it was. And the flyer always ended with, "You need these books more than I do." So he was there until 04.
McCosh died in 2007, but his name lives on whenever Dinkytowners and book lovers get together. And his legacy continues at the Bookhouse, where Idy Tollefsen keeps the flame alive in a neighborhood undergoing massive redevelopment.
When you're buying a book, you're not buying merchandise. You're buying a book for some value that you see in it that's cultural, intellectual, spiritual, or whatever. And certainly McCosh wasn't buying it because you knew it to be saleable. You thought it to be something that should be saved and passed on. The great universities, the best universities, have always had university bookstores near them, used bookstores, which recycle all the collections of the academics and the students. And when you're recycling the books, you're recycling the ideas. It's critical to have used bookstores as part of the intellectual infrastructure of a university area.
This is Britt Omlett for KFAI, where 10,000 Fresh Voices is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.